Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 23, entitled Maharaj Prithush Going Back Home, text number 27. Esham Durapam Kim Twanyan Martyanam Bhagavat Padam Translation on purport by Shisi Vani Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Esham means of them, Durapam, difficult to obtain, Kim, what, to, but, Anja, anything else. Martyanam, of the human beings. Bhagavat Padam, the kingdom of God. Bhuvi, in the world. Loka, flickering. Ayusha, span of life. Ye, those. Vai, certainly. Naishkarmyam, the path of liberation. Sadayanti, execute, uta, exactly. In this material world, every human being has a short span of life. But those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead. For they are actually on the path of liberation. For such persons, there is nothing which is not available. In Bhagavad Gita 9.33, Lord Krishna says, Anitya Nasukam Lokam Imam Prapya Vajasvamam. The Lord here declares that this material world is full of miseries, asukam, and at the same time is very flickering, anityam. Therefore, one's only duty is to engage himself in devotional service. This is the best end to which human life can be put. Those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord achieve not only all material benefits, but also all the spiritual benefits. For at the end of life, they go back home, back to Godhead. Their destination is described in this verse as Bhagavat Padam. The word Padam means abode. And Bhagavat means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the destination of the devotees is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word Naishkarmyam, which means transcendental knowledge, is also significant. Unless one comes to the platform of transcendental knowledge and offers devotional service to the Lord, one is not perfect. Generally, the processes of jnana, yoga, and karma are executed life after life before one gets a chance to render pure devotional service to the Lord. This chance is given by the grace of a pure devotee. And it is in this way only that one can actually attain liberation. In the context of this narration, the wives of the demigods repented because although they had the opportunity of a birth in a higher planetary system, a lifetime spanning millions of years, and all material comforts, they were not as fortunate as Prithu Maharaj and his wife, who were actually surpassing them. In other words, Prithu Maharaj and his wife scorned promotion to the higher planetary systems, and even to Brahma Loka because the position which they were attaining was incomparable. In Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord affirms, Avramma Bhuvanam Loka Punadavati Arjuna. From the highest planet in the material world to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. In other words, even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahma Loka, he has to return to the miseries of birth and death. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Lord Krishna also asserts, Titam Bhukvas Varga Lokam Vicharam Kshine Kunye Marte Lokam Vichanti. When they have thus enjoyed heavenly sense pleasure, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, after exhausting the results of pious activities, one has to come again to the lower planetary systems and begin a new chapter of pious activities. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Naishkarmyam Abhijirta Bhava Varjitam. The path of liberation is not at all secure unless one attains the devotional service of the Lord. Even if one is promoted to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he runs every chance of falling down into the material world. If it is possible to fall down from the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond the higher planetary systems in this material world, then what can be said of the ordinary yogis and karmis who can only be elevated to the higher material planets? Thus, the wives of the denizens of the higher planetary systems did not very much appreciate the results of karma, jnana, and yoga. Esham gurapam kim tuanyam martyanam bhagavat param bhubi loka yusho yevai naishkarmyam sadayam yuta. In this material world, every human being has a short span of life, but those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead, for they are actually on the path of liberation. For such persons, there is nothing which is not available. The seminal question of the Srimad Bhagavatam, asked by Maharaj Parikshit, deals with the topic of death. His question, can you remember the question anymore? Can, what is the question Maharaj Parikshit asked to Shukadeva Goswami?
What is the most auspicious thing to do at the time of death?
That's close, yes. What is the duty of a human being who is about to die? What is the duty of a human being who is about to die? And then he asks also, he expands the question, what should he listen to? What should he speak about? What should he remember? And also what he should not do? What he should prevent to do? And actually this question is very important. We see all over the Srimad Bhagavatam the topic of death comes again and again. And here we see in this chapter is describing how the ideal couple, we can say, or one of the role model of an ideal couple, Prithu Maharaj and Queen Archie, all both, they are going back home, back to Godhead. And the women from the higher planetary systems are speaking, are glorifying such a great achievement. They are saying, they really attain the higher destination. We were hearing yesterday from His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj how they were going upwards, Urdhvam, upwards. They were already situated in the heavenly planets, but they were impressed that they were going even to a higher destination. They were going to Vaikuntha Loka. So the context is even here, the women of the heavenly planets, they are contrasting, it's actually a very beautiful contrast between the material world and the spiritual world. Martyanam. Martyanam refers to everyone who is born in the material world. Everyone who is about to die. Chatasyai dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janmam ritasyacha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Whoever has taken birth is going to die. And whoever is dying, he will take birth again. There is no other alternative in the material world. This is the material world. And even as Srila Prabhupada, it is very interesting the expression Srila Prabhupada uses. In the purport. He says that these heavenly ladies, they were scorning promotion to the higher planetary systems and even to Brahma Loka. Scorning, they were saying, this is nonsense. We are here, we think we are successful, but we offer not to die. And look at her, she was living on the Earth planet, and she's going upwards, she's going back to Brahma Loka. We would like to have a similar achievement. We also would like to go back home back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Kine punye martya lokam vichanti, martya lokam. This is the material world. The earth planet is named martya loka, but also the material world in general is named martya loka. Even if they were situated in the heavenly planets where it appears that they will not take birth again. It appears that they will never die, but still they will have to come back. Therefore, such amrita, many people want to go to Svarga, to heaven, and enjoy the heavenly pleasures of the demigods, drink soma ras, and become increase the lifespan. Here it is mentioned Ayur. Ayur refers to the life. Lokayusho. Ayusha refers to the span of life, and Loka, in this context, properties, translates it as flickering. Flickering lifespan. It seems very long. They are drinking so much, and they are increasing the lifespan. But actually, it is very short. This is an illusory, it is just an impression. Because very soon they have, Shinet Punye, Martyaro Kambishanti. When the results of the piety that took them there is finished, they have to come back to the Martyaro. The planet of death. And therefore, such so-called immortality is cheating, is false immortality. It is like false money. Like we had, I remember when I was a child, I used to play, maybe some of you also did, Monopoly, yes. Monopoly. Pandora, Jagger, so, and we were buying, we had the Monopoly, the Spanish version. It was Barcelona, and we had all the streets of Barcelona, the Ramblas, some of you may have been in Barcelona, Ramblas, and Diagonal, Plaza Catalonia, from this place. And you could buy all this. You could put, buy and build your own houses there. So, and you were using, you had money, you had big bills. And with those bills you would be able to compete and to bargain with the other competitors. I don't remember know the rules of the game, but I remember you would compete and try to accumulate as much properties as possible. But actually, I was penniless. I was just a child, playing a game. So similarly, the relation to the heavenly planets is actually like a false money. It's false immortality, false property, false enjoyment. What do we speak then of enjoyment in the Matyaloka, in the planet of death? It's even less. It's fickle. Takes no time. So the context is Martyam Bhagavat Palam. The planet of death and Bhagavat Palam, the supreme abode of the Lord. Palam means position or situation. So Bhagavat, the position of the supreme Lord. To live with Krishna. This is actually the purpose of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is to bring us back to the life of Krishna. Krishna consciousness means living with Krishna. Mayeva mana adatsvama ibuddhim nireshaya nivasi syasi mayeva ata purvam nasamsaya. Krishna says that just fix your mind upon me, engage your intelligence on me. In this way, you will always be living with me, without any doubt. So, actually, by constitution, we live with Krishna, but we just have forgotten. This is our constitutional position, to live with Krishna. And the real purpose, or the best purpose of human life, is to remember Krishna always. Like we find in the Puranic verse, Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu, Smartavyam Najati Chit, Sada Hitti Nishedasyo, Etayore Akinkaro. The meaning of the verse is that all the rules and all the prohibitions we find in the Holy Scriptures can be divided into one rule and one prohibition. The rule is always remember Krishna. The prohibition is never forget Krishna. Vishnu Krishna is the same. So, in one sense, it's the same. It's the same. It's Vishnu Tattva. Always remember God, always remember the Lord, never forget Him. And this is the right purpose of human life, and especially this is true, this is the moment, the real moment of the moment of the test, is the moment of death. Therefore, we find so many stories, so many descriptions, about death in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ajami, it's also about death. She was about to die. She was going to receive the reactions of his sinful activities. But because she chanted the holy name of Narayana, then he was purified. And he got the opportunity to engage himself in devotional service, in bhakti. We find different processes. There are mainly three processes, according to the three processes of elevation: karma, jnana, and bhakti. The yoga goes together with jnana. Karma is related to the three vargas, the three purusharthas, three first purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama. Religiosity, material development, material wealth, or prosperity in different ways, and sense enjoyment, the form in this world. This is the path of karma. And jnana is a process of transcendental knowledge, cultivation of transcendental knowledge. Many times also jnana and samkhya are described as synonyms. Samkhya, samkhya yoga. Understanding the difference between matter and spirit. And yoga, it is actually the practical application of jnana. When we study the Saddarshans, the six philosophies we find in the scriptures, many times are classified in pairs, and Samkhya and Yoga go together. We find also in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the devotional explanation of Samkhya and Yoga by the Supreme Lord in his form as Kapiladeva. He explains Samkhya and then Yoga. They go together. Therefore, many times, Yoga is not mentioned separately. Karma, Jnana, and Bhakti. And Bhakti is a process of awakening and acting according to the constitutional position of the soul. And it is actually the process of revelation. Perhaps the main difference between karma, jnana, and bhakti is that in the process of karma, there are many differences, but the one very important difference is that in the processes of karma and jnana, the practitioner is an achiever. He's endeavoring by his to attain protection by his own means. Whereas in the process of bhakti, the practitioner is not an achiever, but he is a receiver of mercy. The mercy is flowing from up down. And by the mercy, then we can go up. Like a child, when the father, the child wants to go up, so the father takes him by the hands or by the, picks him up and then places him up. It is much easier because the mercy of the Lord is acting. And it is actually, I found very relevant. Last week we had a japa retreat taught by His Holiness Satyananda Swami Maharaj, and one of the ground rules for the retreat, he gave us some rules to practice the chanting of japa and to gradually improve our chanting of the holy names. And he said, be a receiver, not an achiever. Of course, personal endeavor should be there, but it is better to be a receiver, to let the mercy flow, and to take whatever mercy the Lord gives in so many ways, through His holy names, through His taking form, through His devotees, through the whatever situations we find in life, even the great difficulties, or great or small difficulties we find in life, these difficulties are the mercy of the Lord to help us come closer to Him. I hear the word, it is used the word, lulaam. Lulaam means difficult to obtain. The material world is very difficult. It's a very difficult place. Therefore, sometimes it is named Durga. Durga. Dur. Durapam. Duratyera. Very difficult. Ga. Gatim. Gatim, the goal, is very difficult to obtain. The supreme goal of life is very difficult to obtain in the material world. But here, the heavenly ladies are saying that actually for them, for Prithu Maharaj and for Queen Archie, it was very easy to obtain the supreme destination, Bhagavat Padam. It became very easy. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Daivi Esham Namayi, Mama Maya Dilaktyaya, Mamibaye Prabhadyante, Mayami Antarantite. Krishna says, it is very difficult to cross over the material ocean, but for those who surrender unto me, it becomes very easy. And this is actually the ultimate conclusion. Srila Prabhupada in the purport emphasizes, oh, we need to go through many births, many, many births, before we come to the situation of bhakti, of pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this also. Bahunam janmanam ante yadavamam prabhadyate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurvanam. That after many, many births and death, someone who has attained jnana surrenders unto me, prabhadyate, and can see me everywhere, vasudeva, everywhere, in every soul, in every atom of creation. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurvanam. So, and to conclude, the blessing mentioned in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that even if we live for a very short lifespan, it's an insignificant lifespan in comparison to the life in the heavenly planets. It is flickering, like this. Very, very short, a few years. What we speak in the age of Kali, Prayena Parushasa Priya, the duration of life in the age of Kali is extremely short. This was spoken in previous yugas, where human beings would live longer. And already it was considered very short lifespan. What we speak to speak of the lifespan in the age of Kali? It is insignificant. So, the blessing here is that even if our human life is very short, if we are engaged in the service of the Lord, then we can attain Bhagavad Padam. We can go back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. And we don't have to come back to this material world. Thank you for listening patiently. If you'd like to ask any questions or make any comments, please do so.
I read in the Nectar of Devotion, it speaks about the different rasas, Shanta rasa, Vatsala rasa, Madhura rasa. And Now we're speaking about karma, jnana, and bhakti. I want to know if there's any connection between, for example, Shantarasa, the platform Shantarasa, and jnana, or Hasya Rasa, or Dasya Rasa, with bhakti, or Madhura Rasa with bhakti. The question is there any connection between these rasas, the relationship with Krishna, and the things we're doing in the material world, the yogas, bhakti yoga or jnana yoga?
Yes. Yes, certainly. The Shanta Rasa is connected to jnana. Those who see unity, spiritual unity in everything. Like the examples given in the Bhagavatam are the four Kumaras, Sattva, Sana, and Shrila Shukadeva Goswami. They were situated in their own spirit of happiness, happiness of Brahma realization. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Ranga Kumaras, when they met Lord Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planets, actually at the entrance of Vaikuntha, it is described, Tasya Vindana Yanasya Padava Vinda, Kinjal Kamishka Vyasi Makaranda Vahyu. Who can come from the three lines? It is mentioned, Akshara Yusham. Akshara Yusham means that these four Kumaras, they were situated in Akshara, in the perception of unity. They were perceiving only unity, only spiritual unity. Still, it is described when the aroma coming from the lotus feet of the Lord mixed Kinjal Kamishna Tulasi Makaram Devai with the fragrance of the tulsi leaves and the incense and flowers offered to the Lord, when penetrated their nostrils, they became transformed. They became completely transformed. Abhijita Tambo. Abhijita Tambo means they were transformed in body and consciousness. They were completely realized. But they became attracted to the personal form of the Lord, which shows how the form of the Lord is transcendental. Satchitananda Rupam. Form Satchitananda, eternal, as opposed to the material forms. The material forms are Asat, Nirananda, actually Dukkalayam, Ashashvatam, temporary and full of misery, and achieved, lacking consciousness. But the form of the Lord is completely transcendental. Also, Lord Shukadeva Goswami, the same is described. He was such an accomplished transcendentalist that he was living, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was living in the womb of his mother for years. And through his siddhis, his mystical power, He decided not to go. He didn't want to have anything to do with the material world. But when Srila Vyasadeva recited the pastimes of the Lord for him to hear, then he decided to come out. Okay, now there is some good reason to come out. And then he came on and he was leaving. He decided, you can imagine how the father and mother would feel. After 16 years in the womb of the mother, then he comes out and took his mystic power, he decides he's leaving home. No dress, no round thread, no purificatory processes, no Papa and Mama, like Mom. He left immediately. And it is described that, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes, that only the song of the wind and the trees answer to the call of the aggrieved father. He was calling, "Oh my son, please come back." Great father, Srila Vyasadeva, "Please come back." And the answer was, "The wind." But then Srila Vyasadeva knew how to bring him back. So he sent some of his disciples to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And by reciting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sukadeva Goswami came back. And therefore the Bhagavatam says, because this is the question Maharaj Parikshit asked, actually not Maharaj Parikshit, this is the sages of Naimisaranda discussing with Sukadeva Goswami. They asked, how is it that Sukadeva Goswami, being a completely realized soul, he was a perfect jnani, perfect monist. How is it that he decided to study Srimad Bhagavatam? I cannot understand. And then he said, the answer of Sri Yasuda Goswami was, "Atmala Amasta Munayo, Irranta Api Urukrame, Kurvanti Ayukim Bhaktim, Itam Bhutabu Nukhari." That even great Atmalam, Atmalam refers to those who are completely realized, Shantaras, they contemplate the Advaita, the non-duality in everything, the presence of God in everything. Even those Atmalamas, all kinds of Atmalamas, those who are self-satisfied, that's the meaning of Atmaram. Aram means he experiences joy coming from the Atma, from the Self. So all kinds of Atmaramas become attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So going back to your question, yes, Jnana is connected to Shantaras. From Vasya up to Madhurya Ras is connected to Bhakti. But even to attain the Srila Jiva Goswami, he is commenting the Srimad Bhagavatam Satsandhava, he explains that even jnanis and yogis who are not attracted by the personal service to the Lord, if they want to attain ultimate perfection, also Bhakti should be, some Bhakti should be there. Because the ultimate giver is the Lord. He is giving. The Shamsatata Yuktanam, Pajatam Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I am to those who Satata Yukta, who are dedicated to serving me, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, I give them. So we can, unless we receive mercy, we cannot attain spiritual liberation in any of the paths. Any other question?
I thought that also in Shantaras, some just liberated souls are there in this spiritual world. I mean, we're now like animals and flowers or whatever, they are.
Of course, the Shantaras in of Goloka Vrindavan, according to the explanations given by enlightened acharyas like Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami, it's actually a Shantaras impregnated by Madhurya. For example, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam technically speaking, the Krishna's fruit is in Shantaras, because it is Smurta. But actually, it is impregnated of Madhurya because she has been touched by Krishna's lips. And the gopis of Vrindavan, they are envious of Krishna's fruit, because they say, we would like to be like the fruit. She is enjoying the kisses of Krishna, and we cannot be separated from Krishna. We have to wait until the night time comes. So the Shantaras in the spiritual world is implicated with Madhurya, transcendental sweetness. Even the cows, they are supposed to be in Shantaras. But actually, they experience Vatsalyavas to give their milk to Krishna. So all the intimate rasas are manifest in increased potency in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, there are two opinions among Vaishnavacharyas. Some Vaishnavacharyas, they say, Shantaras should not be considered as part of the bhakti process. It is like the borderline. But over the time, they say, no, Chantarati is a foundation for everything else to develop. If we don't have Shantarati, we cannot develop. We cannot understand the other spiritual rasas. Therefore, Shantaras is bhakti also. You can choose whichever you prefer, according to your own inspiration and realization. Any last question?
Maharaj, we talked about achieving and receiving the mercy of the Lord. But then it sounds a little that to receive the mercy of the Lord is completely without endeavor.
You are right that it is, we should endeavor, we should do something. But we should know that what we can do is very little. I was reading the autobiography written by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. It's a very beautiful autobiography. And there is he went through so many spiritual adventures. One of the adventures he experienced while he was in Vrindavan, he was living with one Baba, I forgot the name, I don't remember if he was Ramesh Baba or something. One Baba in Barsana, in the place of Srimati Radharani. The Baba was living in the mountain of Barsana, and it seems that this was like 20, 30 years ago. There was a tiger that had, they mentioned there was a tiger nearby, and the tiger had killed and eaten some human beings in the area. So during the night they were sleeping, and it was said it was around the mountain at night, they should be careful. So then the Baba, they went to sleep, and the Baba took a stick this long, more or less, this long. He had a stick. And Radha Maharaj asked him, Maharaj, why you keep the stick? Usually you don't carry a stick. He said, well, there is a tiger in this area, I hear. In case the tiger comes, I have something to protect us. And then he said, but how you can protect yourself from a tiger with a stick? That's not possible. And the Baba replied, well, we shouldn't give all the work to Krishna. We should do some endeavor. And then Krishna will do the rest. So this is the idea. We should endeavor. Do our endeavor. And then depend on Krishna. What kind of person who is drowning in the ocean of material existence? And we see that beautiful picture. What can the person do to save himself in the middle of the water? He needs higher help. So we should endeavor, we should call out the holy names of Krishna, we should express eagerness to be rescued. But then it's up to Krishna to do it. And of course, therefore, sadhana is very important in spiritual practice. Because spiritual practice is our endeavor. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita also, in chapter 12, Tesham Moham, he says, They renounce words and they give it to me. Anandanaiva yogena. They practice yoga without deviation. Ananda. Without ulterior motives. Mam dhyajanta dhyayanta upasate. They worship me and they meditate upon me. And then she says, this will be the part of the personal endeavor. That's there. That's over the stick. But over the stick alone will not do. Krishna says, Tishamaham samudharta mrityu samsara sagara bhavanda chirat partha maya vishita chitasam. He says, to them, aham samudharta, I come and save them, I rescue them. And I do it very soon, not chirat. Very quickly I do it. And therefore today's verse says, in a very short span of life, one can attain the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead, by taking shelter of Krishna, by carrying our little stick, as you kindly reminded us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.